Have you ever had one of those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure out why? Recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep, it could be my hormones at play. And I know firsthand how much stress can mess with hormones. Between work and life and travel, it's easy to feel a little out of balance, and I know I'm not the only one. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system, helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, more. So it doesn't just help with estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. It also helps with the stress hormones such as cortisol. Small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. Are you ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today and find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code Lexi. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Lexi for 15% off today. Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the Lexi Podcast, and thank you for tuning in to not only this podcast, but also this video podcast. If you've ever been interested in watching a video element of this show, this episode will be on youtube.com/LexiLombard, L-E-X-I-E. Sometimes people forget the E. You'll still be able to find it, I would assume, but don't forget the E. This is a solo episode. Typically, I'll take the time to have a video episode if there's a guest, but I'm trying to become more comfortable. This is mildly stressful. I have a background on YouTube, so I'm very, very comfortable in front of a camera, and I'm very, very comfortable recording a podcast, but for some reason, I think it's because the video has to go on for so long and the camera cuts off, and there's something about the podcast where I get into flow and I lose track of time, but knowing that this camera doesn't have the ability to record for an hour straight and it's going to shut off every 20 minutes and I'm going to have to start it again, that makes me feel like I can't completely lose myself into the show, which is what I prefer to do. So I'm going to try. This is about practicing. There's only one way to get better at something, and that is to practice. So that is what I'm doing. It's a little adventure, which is sort of the theme of today's episode, because my roommate and I were talking about how she needs one treat a day. She needs one treat a week. And the joke is we try to have a once-in-a-lifetime experience once a week. And my equivalent is I need one adventure a day. Her daily treat, her weekly treat could be anything from ordering a brownie to getting floor seats for Beyonce. You know, the range is wide. And I would argue that my equivalent is I need an adventure a day. An adventure a day keeps the doctor away. It doesn't need to be anything in particular, it just needs to have something based in exploration or novelty. And examples being I took myself foraging Saturday morning alone. That's one example, which, you know what? Do you want to know about that? I have a friend who's really gone into a rabbit hole of foraging and now understands a lot of plants and flowers and fruits and vegetables, not only for their medicinal properties, but also mystical benefits as well. Like, she has an entire encyclopedia of mystical knowledge, and it's beautiful, and it's fun, and it's entertaining, and it seems, you know, exciting. And then a friend of mine had sent me a Facebook group for a foraging trip in a neighborhood outside of LA Saturday morning. My dog got neutered over the weekend, so I wasn't going out this weekend. I've been home basically for the whole week, and I woke up 8 a.m. Saturday morning ready to go. All my other friends that were gonna come were like, dude, I can't go foraging outside of the city at 9 a.m. I'm so sorry. Like, I just don't have it in me to wake up and go find mint and rosemary and oranges and figs with you. I was like, that's fine. I don't care. I just need to do this. I'm up and I'm awake. And my equivalent of this, like a month or two ago, was I woke up at 8 on a Saturday. Okay, I think I'm going to go skiing. I have a ski suit. I'm going to put it on. I'm going to take myself. I know how to ski. I'm not putting myself in danger. It's going to be a pretty seamless experience. And it was, and it was fun. So I did the same thing with foraging. I arrived and I saw the group. And there's nothing wrong with the group, but I judged. And it also just, it wasn't the group that I wanted to go foraging with. It was whatever, doesn't matter. So I was like, I'll take myself. And I looked up what's in season And I looked around and I came back with some sage and some mint and some oranges, and it was lovely. And that was my adventure for Saturday. Actually, it continued because one of my friends that I was supposed to go with, I ended up meeting up with her afterward. And we went to get coffee and we're going to go on a walk. And she was trying to take us to this place that has a nice walk and took a wrong turn. And there was this gorgeous antique sale and sort of estate sale happening. And there was a collection of guitars. It was probably 7 or 8 guitars sitting in the corner of this sale. And I had just come back from a trip with musicians, and I'm curious, you know? I've always been a little curious, but I put it out there. I'd like to get a guitar. I'm not going to go to a guitar center and buy a $400 guitar. I don't need that. I don't need the nicest one. I don't need the best sounding one. I don't even need one to last. I just need one for me to play to see if I'll use it. So I've been teaching myself chords. That's been one recent interest of mine. What other adventures? What adventure did I go on today? Did I have an adventure today? I would say that my hour and a half walk would have been my adventure, but yesterday's hour walk was a lot more exciting because there's this whole dramatic fiasco that's so not worth describing, but essentially I had a lot of minor series of unfortunate events follow me throughout yesterday, which led me to go on a walk about 40 minutes in one direction. And on the way, I heard the most beautiful mariachi band. So naturally I walk in, I have Spoon on a leash with the cone on his head. He still has a cone on. I don't have my keys, I don't have my wallet, but I follow this mariachi music. And 3 incredible musicians and one of the guys working there is like, come in, it's margarita day. I'm like, you're so right, it's Cinco de Mayo. He's like, come in, have a margarita, I'll take care of you. No, I don't have anything to my name. I also have a dog with a cone on right now. I just don't think this is the time. He's like, okay, we'll come back later. I said, okay. And I did. And I had a really, really fun time. Oh, you know, he took care of the bill too. So shout out Jesse, you're a king. That was so nice for no reason. Also, the margaritas were flaming. They came out on fire, which is a bit questionable. Like, should I be drinking? I guess if you just put, you can, like, maybe that's fine because liquor is flammable. So maybe they were just lighting liquor. That's, fingers crossed, what I would assume is how it was flammable. I digress. Went over to some other friends after it and we played a nice game. If any of you guys went to school in New York or you're familiar with the Gallatin School at NYU, we were all just trying to take interests of ours and reword them into Gallatin major appropriate concentrations. I would love, like, for example, if I wanted to major in podcasting and I can't think of something else, lip gloss, the Gallatin version to get approved as a concentration, I would have to say feminist audio engineering through the lens of sparkly cosmetics. Is this womanhood or something like that, you know? And we were going around with it, like niche suffering. What was it? It was like clown something minoring in niche suffering. This is not funny. This is not funny. I wish I had my group with me and they could all say theirs. And they're also so flowery that it's hard to remember. But that was a fun, entertaining way to use my brain. And you know what has been, I just connected a thought and I'll bring you there. Sorry, I'm not the best speaker. I'm just trying my best. I really like the podcast and I really like the video element. It's just a bit distracting making sure, am I in focus? Cool. Is the mic still recording? Awesome. Is the camera still recording? I'm just one woman, which, by the way, I'd answered a question in last week's episode that someone had asked, do you ever get hit with a random bout of melancholy or feel strange? And I was like, that is what it is to be a woman, is to be hit with this strange wind. You feel the blues, you feel, you're hit with the melancholy, and it feels like it's not from you, and you know that. There's an intuitive knowing that this pain is not mine, it's collective. And that is what it is to be a woman sometimes. And I had titled the episode that because that was a great line from the episode. But it really, the episode was more or less about how I think social media is back. It's really fun. We went through this horrible time where it was so commodified, and it is. And capitalism is still absolutely running rampant through United States and internationally. But there was a period of time that to be successful on YouTube, you just had to pick something specific, sort of turn down your compassion, or I guess turn up your apathy, And then you could just profit exponentially on the internet. And that's no fun. That's so boring. Are you kidding me? Like, enough of the drop shipping content. We don't need it. And all about being that girl and selling this. And TikTok shop went crazy. Suddenly my TikTok for you page became QVC and I didn't sign up for that. And I think there's subtle pushback that I see, at least through the content that I consume, where it's a little bit less intentional or not intentional in the way that it was post 2020. I really think the COVID creators changed things. It brought so many new people, but then it just shifted because people went from having traditional jobs or having one job and then realizing that they could make money off of social media, pivoting really quickly, profiting really quickly, suddenly having this complete 180 in their career path, and then wanting to maintain that certain lifestyle that they've achieved based on that profit. And it just changed things a little bit. But I've seen that throughout the years. It's always sort of swinging. The pendulum is swinging, but we're getting a little bit of swing in the opposite way. And it's really fun. Or maybe this is a personal projection because I'm just feeling casual and low-key about social media. And then maybe because I'm feeling that way, the content that I'm interacting with is reflecting on that. So this is just a theory. I don't have any research to back it up. Personally, I'm not the best researcher. I have curiosities and I'll speak them out loud, almost as if I understand the place that they're coming from. But I think a lot of it is just mild observation. That's the extent of my research most of the time. Sorry. Still trying to connect my thought. What was I thinking? Oh, guys, will you do me a favor? I keep getting emailed from my podcast network that my goalie ad read is not performing well, which is so strange. I don't know why that one wouldn't be performing as well as any of the others. Goalie is the apple cider vinegar gummy, and then they also have an ashwagandha gummy. They're both great. Like, this is not the ad read. This is just me receiving the email in real time. So I'll put a link to it in the description box of the video and in the show notes. But just please, if you're making a purchase, use code GOALIE50. You get 50% off. It's a really nice deal. And I feel like if you just want like a flatter tummy, the apple cider vinegar gummies really do the trick. And then if you want to feel calm, get the ashwagandha ones. That's all. Highly recommend. See that? Not to pat myself on the back, but that's how I want an ad read. I wish that could have been the ad read. Like, hey, there's a good product that I have a 50% off code for you. Granted, the push for me to bring it up is that for some reason it's not performing well, but occasionally I'll get emails from my podcast network that the brands that buy over and over again versus the brands, like every once in a while I'll get an email that it's not performing well. And I couldn't tell you why, because the way that ad reads work is that they will send you the script. They sort of have what they want you to say, and then you can fluff it with your own personality, but they want you to get the major point of their product across. So if it's not performing, I'm like, I don't know if it's me or if it's the script, or who knows, maybe just the product's not of interest. But to go back, we're really trying to rewind right now. So I went from goalie before that. I was talking about the pendulum swinging in social media being fun. And I was talking about that because that's really what the basis of last week's episode was. Although I titled it "To Feel Strange and Melancholy is to Be a Woman." Like, that is what it is to be a woman. Amongst other things, it's really like whimsical and there's so many fun things. But social media has been so fun recently is what I really wanted to talk about for that episode. So I retitled it. And then maybe I will actually go into what I think the female psyche is and how I observe it. I'm much more an observer. Okay, we have to rewind. We have to rewind to the fact that I got a guitar. I've been wanting to get a guitar. I'm not so good at it. I'm trying. Allegedly, they say, the great they, it's better to practice 1 hour for 7 days than 7 hours in one day. So I have just been picking it up. I'm learning a scale on it. I have screenshots on my computer of a few chords. I just would like to get to the point where I could play just a little sing-along. I want to be able to have some lyrics in my head, whether I'm creating them or they already exist, and I can just strum, sing along a little bit, just for my own peace and enjoyment. Yeah, more peace and enjoyment. Adventuring. I think the basis for the adventure a day, a treat a day, I think a lot of people are on board with, you know, give yourself a silly little beverage. What are the other quintessential internet treats? I think that's the main one. Get yourself a silly little beverage. Okay. The adventure a day. You need to take a street that you haven't normally, you know, you have to take a route that you haven't before. You should try, hell, they can be so simple. Try a different search engine, you know, spend this week on Yahoo, spend this week on AOL instead of Google, or you could, what are other adventures I've been on? It's totally choose, no pun intended, or to be redundant, choose your own adventure. It's totally up to you. It could be making something. I bought this pack of children's magnets. It's like a craft that I got at Michael's, and I'm painting my friend a magnet for her birthday. I'm trying to turn her into this little like butterfly fairy. I'm trying my best. She kind of like, and it should be good, but I'm not that good at painting. And because it's a portrait of her, I don't want to give it to her and make her think that she looks like how I painted her, because obviously I want her to look as beautiful as she does in real life, but I haven't painted in a while. Okay. That was one little adventure, was I wanted to get stony baloney and do a craft. So I did. I took Spoon and I to Michael's. I went to the kids section, got a craft kit, went home, did it. Oh, I remember. I remember the real tangent I went on. I'm so sorry if this is your first episode. I will get better. Please have some faith and just say, you know what? I think this girl's on to something. I don't know if she's there yet, but I have faith in her. Just have a little faith in me. Trust the process. This show, this time next year, you guys will be so surprised. You can't even believe what's coming. You don't even know. I don't even know. But it's going to be great. I was saying something about not being smart enough for something, but it was connecting the dots to my new Kindle. I've recently purchased a Kindle. I've been the owner of a Kindle for about 2 months now. And my friend Elliot had recommended me this book, Jitterbug Perfume. And it's by the same author of Even Cowgirls Get the Blues. I don't know if you've ever read anything from Tom Robbins before, but he has extensive use of adjectives and a really strange vocabulary and a lot of different decades of reference going into his vocabulary. You can't tell if it's from Shakespearean times or if it's from the 70s. It's really hard to decipher. And I really liked Even Cowgirls Get the Blues because it was funny and it felt incredibly original. Like every time I was reading a line, I thought, I've never read anything like this before in my life. And my friend Max had told me to read Jitterbug Perfume. And so I tried and I just couldn't get through it. It was so wordy and so long. The chapters were so long. But then I had gotten my Kindle and my other friend had also recommended me Jitterbug Perfume. So I downloaded it and said, okay, two guys that I trust have both recommended me this book. And they both have said it's one of their favorite books. Let me give it a second chance. And you know what? The Kindle, you're able to select words that you don't know and it provides a definition. And that has been game changing because I did not have enough definitions in my head for these words when I was reading. And I'm so the type to pull out my phone and look up the definition. And you know, how easy is it when you pull up your phone to suddenly get distracted and then you're not reading anymore? Whereas on the Kindle, it's all right there. Also, the Kindle weighs nothing. Like I can have Spoon in my arms and I can still just be reading my book and it lights itself. So I don't even have to have a nightlight. I don't have to have a lamp on. It's so good. And then there's night mode and day mode and it reads like paper and you can really read in the sun. Sometimes if I don't have sunglasses, but I have my book with me and I want to read outside, it's a nightmare. Have you seen these blue eyes? They can't handle very much. They're weak. Darwinism was like, okay, we'll have society accept them, but biologically you're going to suffer a bit. So it's so nice that the Kindle was thoughtful about that. Yeah. Other adventure ideas, foraging, skiing. They could be wild. They don't have to be exotic and they don't need to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Scandalous. They don't need to be scandalous, but they can be. You know, if you want to have a wild night out, go for it. True adventure. I am so pro. Sometimes, girl, you have to put down that self-improvement book. You have to put down the journal, go get a drink and have a night out. Sometimes that's what you need. Sometimes you can self-improve yourself into oblivion and lose yourself completely, and it's completely counterproductive. You know, you're working so hard for efficiency and you've lost the plot completely. So maybe the adventure is get the fuck out. But maybe the adventure is get the fuck in. Go in your room and spend 2 days there and read an entire book without moving. Like that, just experience something new. Just shake things up, get out of your routine. Also, I've been making a major point to be like, what is this thing? Which if you're only listening via audio, I'm holding up my phone. What is this? When did I consent to having this device with me until the end of time? Am I really supposed to just have this thing with me until I die? Then what? And I've become increasingly aware of how often I'm on it and for what. So I actually downloaded an app that was supposed to block off your apps and it monitors your screen time. But it's a bit flawed. They're still having to work out the kinks because I'll be driving somewhere and it's like, you've reached 1 hour of screen time. And I'm like, GPS doesn't count. Yes, technically my screen has been on, but my God, I'm driving somewhere. I'm not doom scrolling right now. These are of completely different categories. But I do have a lock set on my phone, sans like the note app and a few other like pretty basic apps like the weather, my calendar, things of that sort. And I can't turn them on till 9:30. So I have the first 2 hours or so of the day without touching Instagram, TikTok, of that sort. I was on a hike recently. And I met this guy and we were walking together and he didn't have any social media. I was like, that's gotta be so nice. And anytime I meet someone that has no social media, it just has to be a completely different way of living. Also, if you listen to last week's episode, I'm so delighted by what I'm seeing, but it is just a different option. Like it's a different lane to experience reality through. But I wouldn't say that it's neither better or worse, because having it exist doesn't really depict what you're scrolling through. Like, who's to say that the person without social media isn't just like scrolling through nonsense BuzzFeed quizzes? Like, there could be an exact brain rotting equivalent that they're participating in. You could also argue that someone is, I don't know, on really incredibly women in STEM TikTok channel, whereas someone else is reading, I don't know, cheap airport reads. So it's not inherently obvious whether or not it's better or worse, but you could argue that majority of the people with social media are definitely wasting some of their time on it. I'm guilty. I just have come to a point where I'm a little bit more aware of it, and it's a little icky. It's a little like, oof, that's not very sexy. Yeah, so the adventure is just shaking things up. You've probably been doing the same thing for a little bit of time. Try something new. Go into your closet and your adventure could be wearing those pieces that you have ignored. You're like, there's never really been an occasion for this. Okay, how about Tuesday? That feels like a good enough occasion. Food for thought. I could definitely expand on this, but that's what I've got for you right now. The next portion of this show is the Q&A. Every single week, I ask for questions on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, so I'll get into them. But if you're on Spotify or Apple or consuming the podcast via audio, this is the break for today's sponsors. If you're on Patreon, Patreon's really the only way that you get the ad-free and extended episode. So listen there, and I'll have that link down below. Truthfully, I love when I can shop multiple things that I want in one place. And up until recently, I really thought that Revolve was only clothes. And then I found out they have Goop products. They have Lemme vitamins. They have my ashwagandha that I like, as well as Levi jeans, Frankie's bikinis, Danielle Guizio. I mean, the fact that I can get a little mini skirt, a vitamin, a leather belt, a pair of heels, a beauty blender all in one purchase, that's a huge yes for me. So those are some of my reasons. I have been wanting the perfect pair of jeans, and isn't that something that every girl is always wanting? Finally just decided to get some classic Levi's on Revolve. Easy, perfect, wear them all the time. So from last minute giveaways to party dressing and seasonal upgrades, Revolve has you covered with fast 2-day shipping and easy returns on all of them. And for a limited time, you can shop a curated selection of my favorite styles at revolve.com/Lexi and receive 15% off your first order. That's with code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E. So revolve.com/Lexi Lexi to shop my top picks and get 15% off your first order with code Lexi. Offer ends June 15th, so don't miss out. One of my goals this year was to outsource more, whether that be working with an editor or working with a house cleaner. And I've recently learned about HomeGlow. The cleaners pass a rigorous certification process, and it's a fantastic way to support cleaners in your community because 100% of the cleaning fees and tips go directly to your cleaner. So to schedule a cleaning, you simply go to HomeGlow's website, choose your day and time that you're looking for and the duration of the cleaning, and they'll match you with a cleaner. Schedule as quickly as this week or get something on the calendar for next month so you can check it off your to-do list early. You can see photos and reviews of background check cleaners before booking the right cleaner for you. And the best part is their Forever Clean membership, which saves you $30 an hour on all future cleanings. So you can book unlimited cleaning starting at $19 an hour, backed by the HomeGlow's happiness guarantee. So take some home cleaning off your plate this spring using HomeGlow. Head to homeglow.com/Lexi to get your first 3 hours of cleaning for only $19. That's HomeAglow.com/Lexi. Oh, guys, I'm really excited for this sponsor of the show. It's Washington Red Raspberries. It's easy to feel disconnected from where our food comes from these days. You're getting an ingredient at the store and you don't know if it's from your neighborhood, if it's from a different state, if it's from a different country. I have recently learned that 90% of American-grown frozen red raspberries come from a community of farmers in Washington State. They're grown by multi-generational family farmers who take pride in every berry. I have a bag in my freezer right now and I've been adding them on top of my yogurt with my pumpkin seeds, and they're just fresh and they're juicy and they're full of flavor. And when they start to defrost a little bit and get jammed, they're delicious. They're grown in nutrient-rich soil, and then they're frozen at peak ripeness. So then when you get them, they're peak ripe. They're also featured in popular products like Smucker's Uncrustables with the red raspberry filling, as well as Smucker's Raspberry Jam. You can find frozen Washington red raspberries in the frozen fruit section of most major grocery stores like Kroger, Winco. Check the label for American-grown frozen raspberries. Look for Product of the U.S. on the back. If you want to learn more about the farmers behind these incredible berries and more details on where you can buy them, visit redraz.org. That's redraz.org. And you'll find farmers' stories, recipes, and retailers who carry these delicious berries and all the reasons to choose red raspberries grown right here in the U.S. Oh, this is a fun question. I like this. Legia's asked how to find new dreams. What a fun and interesting question. I wrote down in my notebook, which if you can see the amount of notebooks that I have, it's a bit absurd at this point. We have my classic run-of-the-mill diary. This is cursive stream of consciousness diary. Then we have my Pegasus spiral notebook, and this is where things get ripped out. If it's a quick jot down this order number, this is an idea for something, that all gets written in here. Then we have my 2025 planner, which I go hard in the paint for 2 weeks, and then I ignore it for a month, and that's sort of how it's been since I've left school. Actually, my first couple years out of high school, I was really diligent with the agenda. It explains a lot. I would always do like little diary. My agenda in school was very much agenda plus scrapbook plus diary. And that explains how I journal right now. The way that I'm describing my setup right now is unusual. I normally keep everything in one journal. The to-do list, the order numbers, the diary entries, the plans, all of that is normally in one space. But ever since I've learned about this software Obsidian, I've really sort of spread things out because I want to create an index. And so I'm thinking that I don't need to have it all in one place. It's a work in progress. I'm not confident in my situation right now, but we have my planner. And then last but not least, I just dropped a sewing kit, which I pulled out because I want to teach myself how to thread my eyebrows. I'm very curious. So that's a whole different thing. And then we have my notebook that has things I want to look back on. So a lot of it is like my dreams and my desires and my plans and bigger long-term goals. And I was recently sitting down, and by recently I mean like last night, and I was writing down dreams too big to comprehend. That was the prompt that I had given myself. And you know what? Harder than I thought it would be. Definitely easier said than done, because the first one was a studio with writers, producers, and editors. That's too big for me to comprehend right now. But that's not actually too big to comprehend. There are so many people in the world, that's not unfathomable. A dream too big to comprehend would be a lip gloss brand for aliens. someone's like, what do you want to do this year? I'm like, I want to create a lip gloss brand for aliens.
They're like, huh?
Never in my life. That's a dream too big to comprehend. Telling someone you want a studio for your show with writers, editors, and producers, that's not unfathomable. But it does get you thinking. For example, another one, I want to be a scalp model for someone's ASMR. I want someone to just scratch my scalp with various combs and their long nails and braid my hair and how do it for your TikTok, do it for your YouTube channel. I don't care. You need a head model? Allow me. I want to do that. I want to have a radio show. But once again, not too big to comprehend. Another thing, I want to be an ambassador for an art museum. So MoMA, Guggenheim, the Whitney, hit me up. I want to peak in my 60s. Still, these aren't too big to comprehend. Yeah, I'm looking through them. Even if I said I wanted to be a movie star, once again, there's dozens and hundreds of people that have been movie stars. But let me think of another dream too big to comprehend. I do want to go to space, but I have to, you know, calm that one down because the recent celebrity in space moment had not so great PR. And that, you know, let's let that simmer down. But it used to be a frustration where I remember as a middle schooler, I was actively upset. Like I would actually go to bed frustrated that I would more than likely never go to space because I hadn't pursued the path of becoming an astronaut because I wanted to be a TV news anchor. I was like, you have to pick astronaut, TV news anchor, astronaut, TV news anchor. And I was too embarrassed to admit that I ever wanted to be an astronaut. Whereas I'd always been Little Miss Chatty, so it wasn't, you know, unfathomable to be like, tonight, Boston is experiencing major winds. It happens. So what's a bigger dream? Bigger dream. I want to have a Brat album that's a children's chorus perform at my 30th birthday. No, guys, we have to dream bigger. I challenge you all. That's your homework for this episode. You need to write a list of dreams too big to comprehend and then get back to me. You can put them in the comments. I've been noticing that people are now commenting on Spotify. That is really cool. If you're watching on YouTube, easiest comment section for sure. I'm just not mentally used to checking Spotify, but I will. And I noticed, and that was fun. Okay, next question. Oh, Roxy said, how are we moving to Australia? Guys, I don't know. I just have to visit one more time first, at least. Because I do this every time I have fun somewhere. I'm like, I'm moving. I'm gonna move there. But I love it there so much. So much. You can see it in the vlogs. I was with my friend the other day, and he's like, I've been watching the vlogs. And you just look so happy. Breaks my heart. Elise asked, are you a collector? If so, what of? Am I a collector? I definitely probably have the hoarder gene. So if I don't even know if it's the gene because my mom was so quick to be like, get rid of it. Get rid of it. But if I look on my windowsill, I have a collection of shells and crystals and feathers and pretty things. And then one of my nightstand drawers has my memories. We have all like my little memory box. It's my memory drawer. I definitely collect shoes and handbags and clothes. My wardrobe is a collection, okay? When a piece enters the wardrobe, more often than not, it's going to stay with me for at least a decade. I don't cycle through clothes that often. Do not. Other collecting. I do like my little potions and my supplements and my powders and my superfoods. So I definitely am a little health junkie and I like to collect all the little things. Like, oh, NAD plus, add it to the cart. Apple cider vinegar gummy, sign me up. And I like my iron supplement that has liver and spleen and white blood cells and red blood cells. You know the drill. Which, by the way, if I've ever wanted a favor from you more in my life, it's this. They found me, actually, I think one of the employee's friends in her personal life watches me or listens to the show and was like, wait a second, do you work at the company that makes that lifeblood? Because I know a girl that loves your product. So I'm working with them. They were like, have you tried our beef organs? It's there. It's an alternative to a multivitamin. I was like, trust me. I was scared. But now I'm converted. And they were like, are you down to make social content? So I am partnering with Heart and Soil. Not on this video. It'll be probably a story and an Instagram reel. Maybe it'll go up in the next couple of weeks. But if you see it, leave a comment. Like, go say something sweet. Go impress that brand for me. Go make me look impressive. Because it is so fun when something that you are such a fan of, it's like, hi, we heard you're a fan. We've never worked with an influencer before. They've never worked with an influencer. I think I'm the first influencer they've ever paid, which, I mean, so cool. So cool. I told my cousin, she's like, cool. She's like, I don't give a fuck. It's like, let me dream big, okay? This, dream so big you can't comprehend. Your favorite iron pill brand reaches out. D's Details asked, how do you manage to be spontaneous with a young pup? He's small, and that is kind of the trick, is he's tiny and he's easygoing, so he's easy to bring most places. I also work from home, so I'm with him a lot of the time, so I can take him on walks throughout the day, and he's getting attention and getting to play, as opposed to me being gone all day and then wanting to be gone all night, and then it's like I never saw him. So I'm a pretty good candidate for having a pet. And then on top of it, he's easy to bring in the car. When he was a puppy, I used to take him to the movies. I haven't taken him to the movies since he passed about 5 months, because I just feel like he's not sleeping as often as he was when he was baby. But he travels with me. My friend invited me a couple states over for her birthday. He came on the road trip. I had someone watch him while I was in Australia. But besides that, every other trip I go home, he flies with me. I knew if I was going to get a dog, I would need a dog. Spoon. He was snoring and started to sleep with his eyes open, and that was a little freaky. Just checking he's okay. I'm like, I'm so afraid of him dying. I had a friend who was making a statement about when she was in toxic relationships, her biggest fear was them cheating, them falling in love with someone else. And now that she's in a healthy relationship, her biggest fear is them dying. I'm like, yeah. I'm not afraid that my dog will bite someone. I'm not afraid that my dog will run away. I'm afraid that my dog is going to die before he's old. And that is a nightmare. So I'm like, Spoon. Okay. Nina asked, what's your favorite time of day to read? It's less about time of day and it's more about place. For example, I've always been good at reading on the subway, on an airplane, on a train, any sort of non-car transportation. I can power through my book. When it comes to car, as a driver or the passenger. And then if I'm driving, I love an audiobook. But oftentimes if I'm the passenger in a car, I'll get car sick. And I'm rarely with the driver that's down to listen to my audiobook. Only Ellis Snyder would be down. 9 times out of 10, I'll read before bed. But that's less about getting through a book and more about getting my brain to relax. If I'm reading before bed, I'll probably read 2 or 3 pages, maybe 10 on like a really good night, but I'm not making major progress. Whereas if I give myself time during the day, I'll probably read between 20 and 50 pages. Christina Corny wants to know the books that I've been reading lately. So one of my deciphers between if I'm going to listen to a book or read it is whether or not the author narrates it. So Anthony Bourdain has 2 books that he narrates that I know of, Kitchen Confidential and Medium Raw. So I listened to both of those. And then I've been reading Tom Robbins' Jitterbug Perfume. And before that, I read The Pisces by Melissa Broder. The Pisces is tragic female protagonist who's a bit of like a love addict, I would say, that has a bit of a breakdown and needs to go see her sister or go stay at her sister's house. And then Jitterbug Perfume has a lot going on, okay? We have King Alibar, who wants to defeat death. He wants to live forever. And then we also have a character in Seattle, a character in New Orleans, and a character in Paris. So we're sort of traveling between those 3 cities and then going back in time to, I don't even know what year King Alibar is in, but I'm not selling this book. I'm not selling this book, but that's because I'm still deep in. But there's really good, funny one-liners and then a lot of wisdom in that book. once I finished, I'll be able to sell it more. And then as for Anthony Bourdain, I mean, sexy, thoughtful, like a little grumpy. Ugh, just perfect. Just perfect. And he makes you want to go to Midtown and eat a steak. And he's narrating what it's like to be a line cook and a chef. And it makes you just think a little bit more when you go into a restaurant, because I really am only thinking about the front-facing employees. I'm thinking about the hostesses, the bartenders, the waitresses and waiters. I'm rarely thinking about the line cooks and the chef. And then when I was going to the bathroom at Marvin the other day, you have to pass by the kitchen. I thought, oh my God, I'm putting archetypes to the stereotypes that Anthony Bourdain spoke about in his book. And now I'm picturing what you do in your off hours. I don't know. Interesting. I was really entertained and I powered through those books pretty quickly because they were so interesting. To Ken Sam Smith, we have two shopping questions. One, how do you find your sense of style? Two, do you prefer to thrift or get luxury items? And how do you decide when it's time to splurge? I used to really like luxury items, but now sometimes luxury items feel a bit embarrassing to hold. For example, I was on my walk today and this sports car drove in front of me and I was just like getting secondhand embarrassed. I'm like, why are you driving a Lamborghini to Mixed off of Sunset? Like, what are you doing? And sometimes luxury items are so shiny and there's no story there. It's also the place in luxury because it's been like this since I was born, but people can't afford the couture from Gucci, but they can afford a t-shirt that says Gucci on it, you know? And it cheapens the brand, but it makes it more commercially successful. I understand from a business perspective of why it happens, but this is a long answer to say probably thrift, but not necessarily. Two of my pieces recently have been from St. Agni. I got a skirt and a pair of jeans. And then I recently bought these shoes from Squaresville, so that's thrifting. I received a really generous package from Damson Matter. That's where my t-shirt's from. They sent a line sheet of one of their collections, and there's all these beautiful pieces, beautiful skirts and blouses and dresses. And I see this damn blue t-shirt, and I'm not much of a t-shirt person. I honestly think any girl with boobs struggles to wear a t-shirt because you're like, we look huge. But something about this t-shirt, I just knew I was going to love it. And it's this under the sea theme. I don't know. And I thought, am I dumb for picking out a t-shirt when there's princess dresses? And I never want to seem greedy when a brand reaches out for, you know, to gift free clothes. I never want to be the bitch. It's like, and here's the, you know, tens and tens of items that I want. So I'll try to send maybe like two or three picks. But then I thought, you know what, why don't you just send everything you like from the line sheet and then they can decide, you know, you gave them a group to pick from, they can go from there. And then they sent everything. It was crazy. But that's an independent brand. And I think that that's sort of the sweet spot right now is, at least I think a lot of the LA girls, at least the ones I'm hanging out with, are shopping from smaller, more independent brands that haven't been picked up yet. Brands like a Paris or trying to think Tank Air. I don't know. As for designers, I love Acne. I love Acne Studios. It's a bit of a mix. And as I said, when I'm picking out an item, I'm like, oh, you? Oh, you're going to be in this closet for the next 10 years. Get comfy. Kaylin asks, are we really loving the Kindle? We are really loving the Kindle. I'm not kidding. We're really loving it. And I need to figure out how to make it sexy. Because books are sexy. Holding a book, chic. Holding a Kindle, I don't know. But that's why I have to sell all the practical aspects of it. I'm like, you don't understand. Oh, I've noticed your eyes are blue. I'm sure paper is really hard for you in the sunlight. Try this. You know, I got to go into sales mode. Lots of book questions. This is fun. Actually, I think it's just what I go towards because I'm like, there's a mix. There's relationship questions, sex questions. Should we answer a sex question? Camilla asked, how long should you wait to have sex when dating? Depends on the person. And also, I fuck this up all the time. I'm not great at this. Sometimes I will hold out and never sleep with them. And then other times I'll sleep with them on the first date. It's a bit dependent on them, but also so dependent on me and the time of the month. I swear to God, like there are certain times where I get home and I'm like, Jesus Christ, you were an animal. What the fuck is wrong with you? Chill out. And there are other times when I get home, I'm like, you're such a prude. What is wrong with you? I can't predict because I used to be like, oh, it's dependent on the person. It's dependent on me. It is so dependent on me. So I'm not the one to give advice on this. But if I were to, I would say that it probably doesn't matter. I would do it when you want to, because if they're into you, they're into you. And if it doesn't really matter if you hold out, I mean, I think that there's no harm in holding out. That would probably be the best advice. Just, you know, save yourself any sort of negative feeling potentially. But there's definitely people who they just like the challenge of the conquest, you know? So if you hold out for 5 dates, or you hold out for 3 dates, or you sleep with them in the first date, like, they'll just ditch you afterward, you know? It doesn't matter if it's 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. Once it happens, if that's all they were there for, they're done. So I don't really think it makes too much of a difference. But if I had to give advice, I'd probably say hold out. But as I said, I'm fucked up. I don't. I'm bad at this. Sarah asked, how to prevent other people's bad moods from affecting you? It's hard, because if it's a social situation, I would leave. There's so many excuses to leave. Gladly do that. If you're at a party and someone has a negative energy, you can just start chatting with someone else. It's hard when it's someone you live with or when it's family. When you're at home and whoever you're living with, family, roommates, whoever, partner, and they're in a mood and you just have to feel it, it sucks, because it takes up the whole space. And it doesn't matter whether or not it has anything to do with you. It still sucks because you feel it. It's palpable. I would journal. That's what I would tend to do, because if I was ever living with someone with a, you know, in a bad mood, I would pull out my journal and I would write, no matter how rationally or irrationally it sounded, everything I was thinking. And then by the end of the page or two, I would come to a conclusion and a bit of peace. So I would try that. Also, you can always shut your door, you know, if it is your space. Take a shower, shut your door, recollect, change your clothes, keep yourself clean, try to clean yourself of the energy, and then move from there. But if someone's in a prolonged bad mood, you know, you might have to get out. But if it's just, you know, human, it happens. Let's find a good last question. What should I answer to round out this episode? Oh, interesting. Slipping into the Lava asked, how was the Lululemon tennis event? I work for Lulu and I'm dying for all the deets. Okay, Lululemon has a tennis club, and I guess they throw events. I don't know if this is the first one or if they've done it before, but they send an Uber code. So glamorous when they do that. And I arrive at this estate in Beverly Hills that has this giant metal tennis ball and girls that are greeting me outside. Mind you, they also sent me and a friend full outfits, bag, tennis racket, shoes to go. And then I felt really guilty because they had sent this whole outfit, but it was really chilly that day. So I had on a sweater from another brand, but I just knew that we would be taking photos and they would have a photographer there, and I just didn't want to feel rude. And they're like, oh, no worries, you can just go to the shop and get something new. And I'm like, go to the shop? Go to the shop? What do you mean? Oh, they had a full store at the estate. There was a whole section of the backyard that you could just go and quote unquote shop free. All free, and they were overwhelmingly generous. I'm talking, oh, you like this jacket? What about this one? How about both? Oh, what size are you? Did you check out the clips? Did you check out the headbands? I left with so many things. And then, mind you, all I needed was a sweater. I just wanted a little zip up. I go play tennis. It was Hannah from the Giggle Squad, who I guess had played tennis in college or something. She was hosting it, and then they had another tennis player that was working as a coach. We were doing little drills. It was a pretty short event. It was only 2 hours, which, you know, really felt like they really emphasized, please arrive on time, because I was maybe 10 minutes away and I got an email like, hi, I just want to check that you're still coming, which a lot of other events would just come and go as you wish. That's what I was trying to say. And then my friends were there. TK was there. Nezrin was there. Tasha Franken was there. Shelby Church was there, probably some other internet people that you know, but those are the ones that I knew. And then after playing tennis, we went back to the shop and they swagged us out. I mean, I had to have gone home with thousands of dollars worth of Lulu. And you know how expensive Lulu is. And my cousin Morgan, who's like a sister to me, is obsessed. So her birthday present at the end of May is locked and loaded. She's good to go. It was so fun. Yeah, spoiled rotten. That's how it felt. Spoiled rotten. Okay, well, if you like this episode and you want to hear the extended version, listen on Patreon. I will have that in the description box as well as the show notes. If you watched on YouTube, leave a comment down below of a dream way too big to comprehend. Hell, leave three for me and do the same on Spotify or Apple, wherever you're listening. If you want to participate in next week's Q&A, you can follow me on Instagram. My handle's Lexi. Other than that, I hope you guys stay adventurous and take yourself on an adventure this week. That's the goal, to have fun and make this whole life experience one worth living. So on that note, take care and I'll talk to you next week. XOXO, Lexi.
Hi. I wanted to interrupt the show on YouTube for puppy break because he's so sleepy. I couldn't even tell if your eyes are open or not. Your eyes are so brown. You could look at paper in the sun if you wanted to. Are you kidding me? Why do you think his name is Spoon? Also, because he was so tired, I did take off the cone. Because he's licking his foot. As long as he's not licking his stitches, I'm gonna allow it. But I just wanted you guys to see my perfect little angel. Spoon, can you say hi to the camera? Right there. Do you see? Not me. There. I love you.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.